Girl.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
I expect full praise in the... What do these things do when you like things and you put them on the internet and then you comment and say, I really like so-and-so's podcast. How does that work?
I don't know.
Thumbs up. Yeah, I expect full thumbs up from all listeners.
Can you give like a partial thumbs up?
No. I expect total likeness.
Total likeness?
Likeability?
Yeah, sure. You have tons of likeability.
I like a lot of ability.
Okay. Did you say you lack a lot of ability?
No, I didn't!
Anyways, so, welcome back to Giants in Japan. This is Erica.
This is Jenny.
We are your normal cast.
Your only cast. And
quite literally.
The not so humble one.
We don't love ourselves or anything. We've got a few things to talk about today. Sorry it's been so long. Erica's
busy.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. I'm busy.
We've had a very busy year. How long has it been since we've done this?
I think it's only been like 6 months, actually.
6 months.
I mean, it still looks like half a year. Well,
Erica had a baby.
Yeah, yeah. I had a baby in 6 months.
His name is Kenshin.
Kenshin. I wish. Anyways, no, why did I say that? Maybe I don't wish. I don't know what I wish. Well.
When you wish upon a star.
Or that. Do we have a fun-filled, hopefully 30 minutes for you?
Only 30 minutes?
Yeah. We got the cutoff switch.
Yeah, it's winter here, and so, like, you're just more exhausted, like, all the time. At least that's how I feel. I feel like I'm way more exhausted.
No. Maybe I have more energy.
Maybe it's my skin.
Oh, as
she yawns, I have more energy. It's only, like, not even 6:30 yet.
Yeah, before the podcast turned on and all my movie star energies coalesced into one place, I was grouchy.
Really?
No. I mean, I was just...
You're quiet.
Quiet. Shizuka.
Yes. For all of you listeners out there who don't know Japanese, that means quiet.
For all the ones in the room who don't know Japanese.
What are you trying to... We know some Japanese.
Yeah, Shizuka.
Shizuka. You know a lot.
You know a lotter.
Oh, I don't. Shut up.
Wait, what are we talking about today?
Oh, yeah, okay. So, we're focusing.
We need callers to help distract us into more...
Shock callers.
Just shock kidding. Callers?
Shock.
Shock
callers.
No, I meant hello. I'm calling.
Oh.
Homonyms, you hear. Or maybe not.
I wonder if that's very telling of my character or not. I swear I have not been reading 50 Shades of Grey.
Okay.
Wink, wink.
We don't want another expletive rating on this thing, so let's veer away, wink, wink, from 50 Shades of Grey.
Anyways,
wink,
okay.
Wink.
So the things we're going to talk about today, first of all, we're going to talk about 7-Eleven. Jenny's going to be your narrator for that.
Yes.
And it's a sad, sad thing to talk about.
It's a tragedy.
And then I'm going to talk about illness, which is sad, but not nearly as sad as 7-Eleven going away. And then we're going to also talk about the choice and the process.
Unchoice.
And process of either recontracting to stay in Japan for another year or not recontracting to stay in Japan for another year. Take it away, Jenny.
First of all, I need to make sure that we're all on the same page of what a tragedy is. So a tragedy is where the characters start out in one condition and end in a worse condition later, right?
Mm.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Greek tragedies tend to have things to do with fate and things outside of the protagonist. What is that? Control.
I was thinking that word.
Because I don't have much of it. Forget it if you don't use it. So things outside of the character's control, even though they think it's within their control. And so, I guess what I'm trying to say is the 7-Eleven that was only half a block away from our apartment.
Seriously, I used to go there without a bra on. That's serious. That's how close it was.
It was like inside our apartment to us.
Yes, we were it really was.
This is our street. This is our home. This is where we eat food. And this is where we cry secretly when we're upset.
See, it had everything. It had dessert. It had things for dinner. Like, you go in there and brought, like, 2 carrots and an onion.
Sometimes it even had our students.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was
less awesome. Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Sometimes it was okay.
Yeah, after a long day of being with 1,000 Japanese students, almost literally. Not really. So the big schools are like 900 to 800.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You kind of don't want to see anyone under the age of 21.
Especially when you're buying beer. Multiple cans or bottles. You know, for your friends.
Self.
Or yourself. Hitori alone. There's another Japanese word for it.
What is it?
Hitori means alone.
Oh. All Hitori. All by myself.
This podcast is turning out to be very musical this time around. So the point is, 7-Eleven had everything. Had everything you could ever want. Everything.
Name everything. Define everything. Don't name everything. That's a long podcast.
I mean, it's like, you could go there and get breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You could go there to get things to cook your dinner. You could go there to get eggs. You could get milk. You could get
alcohol.
Oh, yeah. And alcohol. On pot.
Oh, yeah. When Erica and I first moved here, that's like, we ate that once a day at least on pot. Yes. It's a bean paste filled bun.
Of deliciousness.
Yeah.
And joy. And they happiness. Have this. And, you know, booze away your sadness of missing your family without booze. And
I don't drink.
The mayor's son there one time.
The mayor's son?
Yeah, one of the old mayor. Mayor
Oh,
Toyota,
good.
I met his son outside of that 7-Eleven.
Really?
Why was he there? I don't know, but there he was.
He was
like
running.
Hanging out. He's all like smiling at me like I know him. I'm like, I don't know you from Jack. And then it turns out I did know him. And I felt a little bad, but luckily I smiled at him because I'm a nice person. That's what I do. People smile at you, smile back.
Hookers smile too.
No, hookers ask for your card. Credit card. Or your cash. Whatever.
Anyway, so...
Oh, yeah, sorry. I stole it.
We as protagonists started out in our kind of happy, comfortable zone, and then one day we saw this sign.
That we couldn't read.
You stole my punchline. You need to back off.
I'm sorry. I'll take that
It was out. Going to be... I can't restructure what I was going to say now.
Do it.
No, I can't. I was going to be like, and it read, blah, 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 12:15, but that's way not cool anymore. She's like, it's not cool in the first place.
I wasn't gonna say nothing.
Anyway, it closed. Well, it didn't close, it moved. Air quotes. Heavily enforced.
Heavily enforced air quotes.
It actually moved closer to Kayata Chugaku, which is not the good school on the ALT list.
No, it is.
So it's not exactly, the student body there is not exactly the most non-Japanese friendly student body, and they're not like very respectful to adults in the first place, regardless of nationality or gender, and so
that's my current school, in case anybody's wondering.
And this is not something we made up because we're touchy. This is something known within the district.
Yeah, so. Well, you know, get this. I had an interview with my students today because we're doing like, you know, little conversation things. One of my students, one of the questions I ask is, do you have any siblings? You know, brothers or sisters? Because a lot of them don't know the word siblings. And he goes, yes, I have a younger brother. And I'm like, oh, how old is he? And he's like, yeah, he's 10 or whatever. And so I'm like, oh, does he go to Kayata Elementary? And he gave me this look of like, are you crazy? He's like, no. He goes to Owada. I was like, you go to Kayata. But your younger brother goes to Owada.
No, I learned about that. The districts are so close that the elementary schools feed into each district sometimes. So, like, the Owada Elementary School can feed either to Owada Junior High or Kayata Junior High.
So I guess
depending on where the house side is. Yeah. And so some of these kids, I mean, it's just like in any school district, like if you're kind of out of luck if you're on the outskirts of your school district, because then you still, like, if you're on the very edge of White House, you still gotta go to White House.
Yeah.
If you're on the very edge of the Smith or Tyler, whatever district, you still gotta go to Tyler School.
We lied for Ian.
Oh, that.
Okay,
I guess that time period is over.
Yeah, because he's in college now.
Yeah.
He plays college football. When he moved to my parents' house, obviously with my parents, he was technically in the White House.
Your parents' house is in White House?
Mm-hmm. Barely.
UT Tyler's like barely in White House then.
And so it turns out that he would have had to go to White House. At least that's what I'm remembering. I could be totally wrong. And so they just didn't change his address from my address. We just left it the same. So, I mean, yeah, it's lying, but it's not really lying. I mean, no, it's pretty much lying, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
one
yeah,
of the chases yeah, totally yeah. lived there.
So, it's like, back to our short story, with the tragedy, interrupting Erica from my limelight, voice light. She's just letting me look like an ass right now.
No, I was trying to figure out a good spot to interrupt you, but then something I couldn't think of what.
Yeah. So we don't go to the 7-Eleven anymore because not only is it way farther away where you actually have to wear clothes to it.
Yeah, I don't care.
You were too close to a district we'd rather not be too close to.
I actually haven't even seen the 7-Eleven.
It's like in the neighborhood. We live on a main street and the 7-Eleven used to be on the main street and now it's like someone like gave me like finger directions. They were like, take it down this road and then take a left and then take a right and then take a left, and you're like,
I'm lost already.
Don't know which road to start this maze on.
Yeah, no joke.
In the first place. Yeah. So there's supposed to be one down there, but
maybe I should go exploring one day.
No, don't. If okay, here's the other side to this. I've already saved like $200 this month. And I told Erica 100, but then I was realizing I'm taking the train to work now because it's so far away and I keep breaking all our bikes. That,
You mean you keep breaking all of our already broken bikes?
No, I am making it more certain that they are not fixable.
Well, one of my handles completely doesn't work. I literally cannot use it to pull the brakes for my backpack.
That's concerning.
That's why I actually, like, went into a red light one time because I couldn't use my back brakes. And I can't use my front, and if I use my front, I'm going to either go face first into the asphalt, or, you know, not stop at all and still get back on. So you might as well go fast. You gotta go.
To recap, no 7-Eleven nearby. We have to actually wear clothes when we go shopping now, and and Erica's not supposed to tell me where it is because I've saved $200 this month and I want to keep that up. And I started cooking more, so...
Also good.
If she finds it, she's keeping it to herself.
Telling everyone. Just kidding. Well, the next subject's actually pretty short, so it doesn't really matter. My school, okay, what happens is right about now, it's really, 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 really cold. And by really cold, I mean, like, we got snow, and it stayed on the ground, and only where it snowed once. Like, in America, that takes, like, a lot more.
Yeah, that's true.
Than it does in Texas.
Not America.
Excuse me. Texas.
Michigan's like, what?
All our Michigan listeners are like, excuse me.
Hey.
So, anyways, in Texas, you know, it takes a lot for the snow to stick. And for here, it was like, seriously, it had been, I didn't think it was going to snow. I was like, no way it's going to snow. It doesn't look like snow. It doesn't feel like snow. And then, holy crap, the temperature dropped and it, like, just, like, snow everywhere. It was amazing. And it's supposed to snow again on Sunday.
Yay. I heard it was going to snow Saturday, this weekend. Yeah, like on Monday, like she was talking about, it was really warm and moist, like foggy, like, Brigadoon is about to happen, kind of foggy. And then it snowed, and then it turned freezing cold. It's so cold right now.
Yeah, it's like, it's bitingly cold.
So what does that mean for us? It means our apartments are so thin because the apartments have to be lightweight. That,
it's really useful. And the passing semis. And the wind.
Yeah, all those things move. They move us. And,
we're moved by them.
Yeah. So, to kind of, what does that say? Winterproof our house. I think some ALTs actually do this. I don't do it. I just kind of use the air more, the heat more.
Yeah.
But, supposedly, you're supposed to, like, put bubble wrap or some kind of film over the windows in the winter. The Japanese supposedly do that because they sell them in the Daiso and stuff.
Oh.
But,
that sounds like too much work, and I that looks ugly to me.
It is interesting how, like, here, like, to winterize apartments or places in Texas, I never did anything.
Do we winterize? I don't think we do. I don't think it really drop that cold, either.
You know, like when I lived in the north, like, all we did was just kind of put a towel down in the foyer so that our boots wouldn't get messy.
That's true.
Messy water all over the place. And that's, I mean, I do that now because it snows. But here, because your habitat, your living habitat is so much like your outside habitat, that to kind of protect yourself a little more, that people here actually do kind of fortify the walls and things.
Yeah, I actually, Angela came in to see me yesterday. or today-ish. And I go, well, you can come in, but it's just as cold outside as it is in here.
Yeah.
She's like, no, it's a little warmer, mostly just because the wind doesn't blow you, but.
Body heat.
Yeah, but the point is, what I'm trying to get to is that the weather is changing so much, and it's getting so cold that so many children are catching influenza. And by a lot of children, I mean in one of my classes, I have 9 kids out today. And they still had class, but they've been shutting classes down, essentially quarantining whole grade levels.
How did they go through that process?
I've got no idea. I just showed up one day and I was like, where are all the attendances?
Yeah.
And they were literally all gone. They like went home. And some, what they ended up doing was they let them go home after lunch. And then the next day they weren't to come to school. And then today, they were back in school, but every classroom has at the very least 4 or 5 students out. Some classes, the day before they were released, one of my classes had 12 kids.
Wow.
I mean, the classes only have, I mean, granted, the classes have like 40 kids in them, but still, I mean, under 40. And then even in some of my other classes, and they're not necessarily not coming to school, but they've got a lot of kids out. You know, every time I go in to deliver a letter, it's like, oh, yasumi, which means, you know, not, it means vacation, but it means like not time absent, sort of.
Yeah, it doesn't, it literally means like break, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're okay.
Yeah, it's not like you're dying. it's kind of, it was a little frightening when I walked in, and actually one of my classes on the ground floor 2D, which is actually a neat instant class, they're still gone. They weren't there today. The class was just shut down. And it's really eerie to walk down the hall during those times, and there's just, it's just really quiet. And it's like that weird feeling that you get when you have like a kid in the house, and all of a sudden it goes silent, and you're like, something's wrong. Well, I'm cat sitting right now, so the minute she is quiet, I'm like, what's going on? What is he getting into? I have to go find him. And of course he's like, you know, head first in a toilet or something. And I'm like,
really?
Actually, yeah, I did find him one time. I was like, what are you doing in my toilet? And he's just like, just hanging out. The cat is not afraid of water. It is impressive. Wow. My cats are like, I'm not coming anywhere near the bathroom. I'll die.
So back to illness in school. I think that's a really great idea to kind of quarantine classes for a couple of days. I think it shows just a real practical grasp of disease.
Which is impressive.
Yeah, it's really impressive because there's so much
other things
about disease that I don't really understand why they do or don't do things.
Like wash their hands.
I think part of that, I was talking to someone, another ALT, and we had kind of talked about how maybe it has more, that washing hands aspect has more to do with training at home. Because the students, like you see it all the time, the water is so cold in these public schools that students will not fully wash their hands.
They don't fully wash their hands during the summer either.
Well, you spend like 6 months not fully washing your hands because the water is so cold you feel like...
Freezing. Yeah. My hands will be red.
So I like that approach to disease quarantine.
Yeah.
And I think what they do to determine a class is I think they get the homeroom teachers and they go to the Kyoto sensei, who's the vice principal, and then the Koto sensei, who's the principal. I think the Koto sensei actually determines whether or not a class has the population deficiency required to cancel it and for how long.
Yeah, I mean, that could be true. I don't understand so much of what goes on during the day that it's difficult for me to form any sort of hypothesis on that, but you're probably right. And
no, I asked, and then I watched it go down at my school.
Oh, well, there you go. I didn't see anything. I just walked in one day and nobody was there. I'm like, why are all the classes shut down?
Yeah, that's how many classes shut down?
All mine, so A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H.
All right, how many kids are in each class?
40, roughly.
So 8 times 40 is all...
That's a
320.
Lot. Plus the 2D class, which also closed. So
360.
Which is a third of my school.
Yeah, that's a lot. They really didn't. Quarantine at school.
Yeah,
so Kayata is the second or third biggest?
Second
biggest school. Iwata is the third biggest school.
Yeah, and then...
Iwata is where another ALT, Angela Dust, is at. And she said her classes, many of her classes are being quarantined. I myself am at a middle to low sized school, and I've only had one class quarantined.
But even then, that's pretty big for, if you think about it. A third of my
school. The ninth of my school.
Oh, that's not a thing.
No, it's not.
Of course, I would wonder if the teachers weren't more inclined to send kids home at
Kayata. It could have more to do with how big your population is.
That could be true, because if we all go down, then...
Yeah.
And a lot of people,
they're all walking around
with masks on. Of course, I had an itchiness, I literally coughed. Actually, he spit in my face. On accident, not on purpose. Like, he went to say something, you know, they get really, like, dramatic about what they're saying in Japanese, and they're just like, "Kuda desu!" or whatever, you know? Kuda desu, who knows? And, when he did it, he, like, whipped his head back, and as he did it, like, I looked at him, because, you know, he's being, like, really flamboyant.
And that's fun.
Exactly. So I look at him, I don't want to be bored all day. And, he spittled, and his spittle went right on my face, into my mouth. And I was like, I was just, like, just turned away and wiped my face. And the thing is, the reason I was sitting in the seat that I was sitting in...
That is so nasty.
...is because the student who sits in the seat I was sitting in, his deskmate, is out sick with the flu. And I'm just like... Yay. That's gonna be great.
For those of you who can't see us, like all of you, I'm sitting like 10 feet away from Erica, and every time I talk, I kind of run into the mic to kind of say my thing, and then I back away quickly. So I don't want to get anything that she might have.
Even though she didn't hear that story until just now.
No, I heard it before.
No, you didn't.
Yes, you told me that. You didn't tell the whole details, but you told me a kid coughed in your face.
Oh.
Coughed spittles in your face.
That's bad. Alright, so the last thing we wanted to talk about is...
In under 8-ish minutes.
Well, I'm gonna edit out a lot of the other stuff anyway.
No, that's not how we do that! We will never finish. We're like, we're gonna edit like 30 minutes. Let's stop for 30 minutes more!
So I hate you.
You know that's how we roll.
It's true. It's more than I've ever shut up.
So we talked about our home center leaving 7-Eleven. Talked about how schools quarantine. And now we're going to talk about contracts, because it's contract season, and we all got our contract options for signing 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
2 or 3 weeks? 2 weeks
ago? 2 weeks ago, Wednesday.
I think some of the girls who are with Jet had to get there a little earlier with the program.
Although, strangely enough, Jenny had to sign Tuesday. Until yesterday.
Huh.
They get them earlier, but they don't have to respond.
I don't really know the details of that. Jet?
I don't know.
Yeah, we have a sister city relationship, or had one. That's a different podcast.
Yeah.
That's a way different
that
podcast.
Will never come into being.
No, I want it. I want to talk about it.
Well, I've already had requests for people coming in and being our guests, so Haley wants to guest.
Oh.
Appearance.
That could be dangerous.
I know, right? too many
she
cheers
me
not enough Indians.
No, I'll be a chief.
Yeah, I know.
No, I mean...
What were we saying earlier?
I'll let you be an Indian. I will so let you be an Indian.
Anyways. So, recontracting season. What's your ideas? What's your thoughts? What's your opinions? What did you want to talk about?
I just thought it would be interesting to give the people back home an idea of what the process is like. Which mostly involves emotional processes.
Yeah, no joke. Emotional processes. High emotional processes.
Okay, so what happens is when you first get hired here, you come in the end of July.
Right? Yeah. Around July 20th.
And you kind of, like, get situated, and you go to speech contests, and you tutor people, and then you start full-on going to your designated school.
Right.
And assisting teachers when school restarts. Because when you come, you're already, like,
middle
of the first trimester. That hurt. So you get through and you go through like a couple of schools, ideally one or two schools, and then you get a contract to re-sign for a whole nother year in the middle of January. So it's January, right? Dead of winter, which actually I think winter's here really pretty because it's so bright.
It's murder on a lot of other people.
Right. I'm talking about just the general brightness of the sky.
Uh-huh.
Not like the soul.
The soul of the season.
So different.
It's bright, huh?
I think so. I think it rains more in summer. But that's
a tangent.
Is
more so, yeah.
A tangent? Focus. Is this a tangent?
Sure.
Like the kind of orange?
Oh, that's a tangerine.
Anyway. So.
Okay.
Middle of winter.
Middle of January. Mr. Morrow, our supervisor, gives us a manila envelope.
Of death.
And within that manila envelope
of death
is or are two pieces of paper?
Are
two pieces of paper.
Of death.
One paper says they want to recontract you.
Of death.
What?
Oh, sorry. To die.
And the other piece of paper says, it's a place for you to sign to say, yeah, you want to be recontracted.
That's really where they're both pieces of paper that ask you to recontract. You have to say, yes, yeah, I am or no,
I am. But I actually read them this year.
I read them both years.
Wait, some of us in here are smarter than others. I'm not going to say which one, but there's a 50-50% chance it's not me.
Whatever.
It is your thing. So we get this envelope, and we have 2 weeks, or we're told we have 2 weeks, so we probably have until eternity to sign it and make our decision. But actually, as soon as you land here, you're already kind of deciding whether or not you want to stay.
The whole time you think about it every day.
But the unfair thing is, if you're here in January and you re-sign the second week of February, which is, no, the first week of February is when it's due, you've got like 6 more months until your new contract is in effect. You're still living out half of your old contract. Half. So it's
So you decide in 6 months where you want to be for a full year.
Right. You know. For a full additional year.
Yeah. So it's like signing your death warrant. I mean, signing your future away. I mean, signing onto a beautiful opportunity in which your future can become anything you want as long as it happens in Japan.
Which was Erica lying in? A, B, or the really depressed one, or C?
And, okay, so I'm sure you guys can all tell what I decided to do. I decided to go home. When I signed these papers, and I literally left them at his desk, mostly because I didn't want to carry them around anymore, because it was making me nauseous to even carry them around, for me, going home is a little risky because I really don't have a plan when I go home. And I say there, I have a plan, I say there's things that I want to do, but that doesn't change the fact that I don't have, like, a concrete...
Yeah, you don't feel a lot of purpose and determination.
Exactly. Like, you know, coming, I was like, I'm coming to Japan, I'm gonna learn stuff, and going home, it's just less...
You have a whole system, a family and friend system, that when you go off to Japan, it's like, yeah, you're doing something really cool.
Exactly.
And when you go home,
you're like amazing.
Yeah.
With very little effort on your part.
I know.
Until you get here, and... Trust me, there's a lot of effort.
It's a lot of emotional effort.
Yeah. And so, going home, I keep thinking, what am I going to do to be amazing? I know that sounds really selfish and self-centered, but that's kind of the idea. It's like, what is my mom going to tell, you know, her next door neighbor when they talk about me? Oh, like, yeah, my daughter, she lived in Japan for 2 years. Take that.
You kind of get addicted to being the adventurer of the family.
Yeah. So it's difficult to... come home, but at the same time, it's easy to come home. It's a very complicated emotion. So, I struggled with this for a long time because I'm afraid, one, that I'll miss something here. I'm definitely leaving behind a lot of great girls that kind of breaks my heart. I've only cried once about it, but I don't want to think about it anymore. Because eventually I will have to leave. Eventually it's going to happen, so that can't be the reason I decide to stay or go. You know, I have to really think about it logically. And, you know, compare and contrast some things. And for me, it's probably a little more difficult because the where I'm at is really not giving me a light-hearted feeling.
Where she is at means her school?
Yeah, my school I'm at right now is very draining emotionally. I'm not saying that every day is bad, but it's really difficult to be at this school.
It is. The teachers, when they're trying to be polite about this particular school, will say, it's the biggest school in the district, and we're all like,
powerful.
Everybody knows this is not the biggest school in the district.
Yeah,
it's the worst school in the district.
Kids are just not well behaved, and so there's almost a cloud that just kind of sits over the school. Anyway, so Mr. Morrow, now that he's read my response,
looks at me
like I have died. He looks at me like I kicked his brand new 3-week-old puppy in the face, into a street, where it got ran over by a semi.
Are you sure?
Trust me. When I look into his eyes, they are full of puppy despair.
Why?
I don't know. We were supposed to have a meeting on Wednesday, but he had a meeting with Haley instead, and so now he's like, well, can we meet next week? Which, you know, goes to the fact of him, you know, you saying we probably have a lot longer to decide than they make it out to be. Because I'm pretty sure he's going to try to convince me to stay. Or at least, you know, ask me the reasons why I'm going home, even though I have put the reasons why very explicitly in my paper.
The contract part that we're actually supposed to sign, it actually just says that we are asking the city for another opportunity to recontract.
Oh.
That's what it technically says. We don't technically sign our new contract until July.
Oh.
But it's kind of like this it's like this handshake. It's a handshake paper.
Yeah. So yeah, he keeps looking at me like I've died or something. It's pretty bad. And so I know he sent me this email about, are you sure? Is there any way that we can, like, talk you into staying? And for me, some of my issues about going home are money-based. They're definitely budgetary. But even the part on the paperwork says, what are your reasons for leaving if you are leaving?
I thought that was the Board of Education saying, these are the reasons why we won't be hiring you.
No. You can hit them. You can click them and then say what your reason. Don't click them. You put a little X by the ones that you want. And then you have other as well. And so when I filled mine out, I told them why I wasn't staying. Unfortunately, I X'd all of them. I was like, budgetary. I got some business.
Downsizing.
Yeah, the other one, the way they handle things. I don't remember what the exact phrasing of it was. And I was like, I don't like how I have to go to a new school every 3 months. It's heartbreaking.
I love that.
Well, that's good for you, but it's difficult for me.
Yeah.
It's difficult for me not to have. I'm used to working. I worked at a hospital for 6 years where I knew so many faces. And I was able to come in every day, even though I didn't like my job all that much. I loved the people I worked with. I loved seeing, you know, Mallory and Brian and Angela. Yeah, she does work with me. Angela and, you know, just so many people. I mean, first 5 minutes of my day was coming in and hugging about 6 people every day.
Hugs are not on display. I kind of like nudged the teacher in the middle of a joke that probably only I understood. And he kind of like looked real awkward and inched away. And I was like, this was not a creepy nudge. This was just a, haha, we're friends. We're communicating. I nudged
like
your elbow.
Proposing marriage or something.
I know.
Golly.
Maybe I was just not understanding his shying away, but. Maybe he was busy, and I just read it as he didn't like it.
So, like what we're saying, there's just a lot of emotions going around inside recontracting or not recontracting. And then, you know, the fact that you sign 6 months ahead, you tell them what you want.
Right.
There's the worry of how you're going to be treated after that.
Huh?
Like, how you're going to be treated after you tell them, I don't want to be here anymore. And here are my reasons why. And now, I do dread that sort of, oh, there's Erica.
When Bree was in that transition phase, I didn't get that sense that they were behaving that way to her, that our superiors
had been here for 3 years.
Right, but 2 years is plenty. 2 years is also a lot.
Really?
Yes!
For some reason, I feel like it's not enough because so many other people are staying.
It's way plenty.
Especially when this has nothing to do with my future. Like, I don't want to write Japanese books, or I don't want to live in Japan forever. I guess I keep telling myself that because I have this feeling I haven't done enough.
The job itself is a great, great gateway job if you want to transition to living in different spheres of Japanese society. But if your ultimate goal is to learn how to teach, learn how to manage a crowd, basically, while disseminating good information, then that's what you get. Like, if that's your goal, but it's also, you can't level up in this career. It's not a career. It's
yeah.
a good training
ALT
ground.
ALT is not a career.
It's a great training ground. It's a great gateway into better things if your goal is to live in Japan and to learn the language. But for me, the language learning is not my highest goal. It's like what makes living here more comfortable, more enjoyable. But for me, it was learning how to teach.
Yeah. Learning what you don't want to do in some cases.
Well, just learning how to teach was like, that was all I knew to put on the application. In a financially stable environment. That was another thing I wanted to break from the financial instability of graduate school.
Yeah, no.
So, did we cover everything about recontracting?
I think so. I mean, there's not much other than that. Like, once you do sign that you're gonna go home, you start having all these parties. Seriously, I think we went to like, what, three at least?
I only remember two.
Two?
We had a lot more we had many more parties from when Talitha came. So
well,
in the summer, there's
was.
A lot of transition
so
parties. There's a lot of transition parties. There were like two for Brianna and then like two for Talitha. And
yeah.
I'm so.
They have a lot of parties. I think it's just an excuse to drink.
Which
that's just not necessarily a bad thing. Just
well, we have already
exceeded our time limit.
Right.
By 8 minutes.
Yep.
Almost.
Yep, yep, yep. So we will have to let you go. Hope you've enjoyed this podcast.
Yeah. If you have any requests for like things you want to know about, let us know, like I've said before.
Great to hear from you.
Thanks, yeah. Guys. Have a good night.
Think of me always. Give us a thumbs up.
Really is very musical.